Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is brought to you by our fine sponsors, American Tourist Travel, Scooter Vacations, or David's Vacation Club Rental. You can contact any of our fine sponsors at our website at WDWMainStreetMemories.com. And now on with the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast, show number 121. For some reason, it feels like show 124, don't it, Dan?
It does, but glad to be with you this week and ready to talk a little Disney.
Just so everybody knows, this is our third take, and I need two shots and a beer. What about you, Dan?
I'm already drinking tequila at this point.
Yeah, we're recording now Monday night. We were supposed to be recording Sunday morning, and we are sorry we didn't get the show out. But we were three-quarters of the way through each of this show two times now, and my power went out because of windstorms at my house.
Mother Nature is messing with us.
For some reason, she's trying to protect you guys from listening to us, but we will prevail.
Right. Oh, yeah. That's funny. Yeah, a little inside podcasting there. You folks that are listening, obviously, it sounds like it's all in one take, but this has been a very trying episode to get out, so we'll try to give you our best stuff here.
Yeah, the crazy stuff is we usually don't edit. We like to be off the cuff. We're two guys. We're sitting here at the bar. We're having a couple of drinks. We're going to be talking about my latest trip to the Animal Kingdom, and for some reason, Mr. Electric don't want us to do it. So you want to hit a little bit of news then so we can start this fun off while I take a couple drinks here?
Yeah, just a little bit of news going on, mainly surrounding the Disney Springs area, the former downtown Disney area down there. Two new restaurants were announced over the past, I guess, week or so, and they've definitely named the restaurants, and they've put out some information. The first one is called the Boathouse, and that's confirmed for 2015 opening up. So that's not right around the corner, but at least we have a date for it anyways. And this is going to be like an upscale restaurant featuring steaks, chops, seafood, and a wealth of live entertainment. So that sounds like a great addition to the Disney Springs area down there.
I can't wait, and I also heard that they're going to have, like, amphibious boats, like the jeeps that can drive on land or go in the water.
Yeah, that's part of this, that you'll be able to, you know, obviously for an upcharge or a hard ticket package, if you will, I think you can rent one of these, not rent to drive, but probably have a skipper or a captain, but you can get champagne and get some food items out there and take a tour around. I don't know if that body of water actually has a name. It probably does. I just call it the water out there between Saratoga Springs and downtown Disney, that body of water. So, yeah, Doug, you're right. You'll be able to go out and enjoy the sights of Disney Springs and Saratoga Springs. And, you know, there's a lot of wildlife along the banks there and birds and different things. So that'll be pretty interesting.
Yeah, I just can't wait to see the whole package come together. You know, it's so nice that, you know, more and more restaurants are coming to downtown Disney. And I think this is the way downtown should have been the whole time. It gives it a more family atmosphere.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, we all know the history of, you know, when it started. It was a very small kind of a community village, if you will. And just like,
yeah, Buena Vista Village, yeah, or whatever.
Yeah,
it was.
Yeah. And it was just kind of a place for locals to go. And it really was never looked upon as like a tourist attraction. But obviously, as Disney got wise to how much marketing they can do and how much merchandise they can sell, it's grown over the years and taken on a bunch of different names. But from everything I've seen and what I've seen in person on my last trip, I think it's going to be truly a spectacular place to go. And I wouldn't go so far to say as it's like a fifth gate. Obviously, it's free to go there unless you buy something or dine there. But it really, truly will be a place where I think you could easily spend a day and possibly an evening down there and have some fun.
Well, normally with us staying at Riverside, we spend multiple evenings there. We usually take the Sarsaparilla boat ride down, you know what I mean, and hang out multiple nights. We eat a lot of dinners there. This last trip we didn't just because of all the construction.
Mm-hmm.
But I am so looking forward to it. And, you know, I mean, it's going to be fun just to see what direction they go with all these restaurants, because I know there's more to come.
Yeah, I mean, and like I said, at least with the Boathouse restaurant, there's going to be live entertainment. So between that and then you got Raglan Road where you have the Irish step dancers. I mean, all of the not all of the venues, but many of the venues do offer some sort of entertainment. So it's not just going to be, hey, you sit down, eat, and then, gee, what's there to do? Unless you're into shopping or, you know, something like that, you'd have nothing to do. I mean, you know, you can eat, enjoy, you know, some live entertainment or a band. You got the House of Blues and all kinds of stuff that has been there, but it sounds like a lot of these new venues and restaurants and stuff like that are gonna, you know, have an entertainment feature in them in some, you know, in some way. So again, there'll be plenty to do down there.
And that restaurant's owned by the Landry Company too, the same one that you own Jack and Yeti, Rainforest Cafe, and T-Rex. So you know they're going to do a fantastic job with it. I can't wait to see it.
Oh, absolutely. I got to believe Disney's pretty happy with that partnership. That, you know, like you just mentioned, they have already has successful restaurants in the theme parks. And, you know, to partner up with them again at Disney Springs just tells me that, you know, it's a win-win for both companies, Disney and the Landry Group.
Well, when I first started going down there, I always thought the Rainforest Cafes were owned by Disney. I didn't know that till a couple years, until actually when they opened the Animal Kingdom Rainforest. Like, I remember the original one when we went down in 97 at Downtown.
Right, right.
I thought that was a Disney restaurant.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we were all naive at one point, and, you know, I used to think, well, it's a Disney World. Of course Disney owns it, but, you know, we all got wise to the fact that, I shouldn't say we got wise to the fact. I think back in the day, Disney did own most of the restaurants and did run them themselves. But, you know, over the years, they've learned that, you know, partnering up with somebody that's already done it, that you know, and has done it successfully, makes sense, because they don't have to recreate the wheel. They can charge them a healthy, you know, lease or rent or whatever, however the terms of payment are. And, you know, they can bring in a quality company to put out quality food. And, you know, not that the animatronics are on par with something Disney would do, but, you know, T-Rex and, you know, restaurants like that, and the cool dinosaurs and stuff in there, and, you know, kids love that stuff.
Yeah, well, the Yak and Yeti to me is as nice as any Disney restaurant. The whole decor, the whole story that restaurant tells, I think that's on par with any restaurant on property.
Oh, I would agree. I would agree. I mean, again, you know more about it than I do, but there's all kinds of artifacts, and, you know, if you really look around and ask questions, I mean, all of that, all of those statues and different things and paintings and stuff that's hung on the wall, it all ties together and it tells a story.
Well, one of the main stories at our restaurant is that as tourism picked up, they continued to add on. So that's why every single room is different.
Ah.
It started out as a one-room lodge, and then he built on, then he kept building on to make it bigger to accommodate more and more tourists. So that's why when you go in, there's no two rooms that are decorated the same way.
Right, right. That makes sense. That makes sense. Anyway, so, yeah, the Boathouse coming to the Disney Springs, and then also Morimoto Asia is coming to the Landing District over at Disney Springs. And for those of you that watch Food Network, you're familiar with Chef Morimoto. He's been on the Food Network for years now, and he's opening up a huge place, and he's partnering up with the Patina Restaurant Group to put this restaurant down there. So I'm really excited about this. I mean, we got Wolfgang Puck, now we got Morimoto, and, you know, Asian food or Asian flair or that cuisine, I guess, is somewhat missing, or it was missing down there. So this will be a good addition, I think, to the complement of restaurants that are there currently and the ones that are going to be coming.
It's kind of Asian American.
Yeah. Yeah,
which is a Japanese steakhouse, which is awesome. And I've seen him. My wife loves Michael Simon from The Chew.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She would love him to open a restaurant down there, any of them, actually. But, you know, it gives more credibility to Disney. I mean, I was sad to see Kat Kura go. I heard she's going to come back maybe in some other capacity in the parks.
Mm-hmm.
And the more dining experience, the better. And we spoke before saying I wouldn't be surprised when Epcot does its major overhauling that maybe Food and Wine might go to Downtown Disney once it's complete. it might even stay there. I mean, I'm just speculating, but you never know. It seems like they're setting it up to be the ultimate food and family district.
Right, right. Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, with the co-op opening up, they have new, you know, retail areas and, you know, specific, you know, tiki-inspired merchandise. I mean, they're really doing some great things down there, and I'm glad to see it. I mean, you know, I love the World of Disney. I mean, you pretty much can get anything that you would want Disney-related in there. But I also like going in, you know, the co-op and seeing, you know, some stuff that looks like it was from the, you know, 60s and 70s and stuff like that. Just kind of, I don't know. I like that kind of stuff. It's great to see that Disney's, you know.
You like all the nostalgic kind
exactly.
of stuff.
Exactly.
Like the old school stuff. So do I. That's why I love 50s Primetime. Just the whole, it gives you a little bit of different, a taste of a different time. And that's what I like. The old, some of the old school stuff. But I like my new stuff too.
Yeah.
You get the best of both worlds in downtown.
Exactly. And not only that, but you have, you know, with the, what is it, the Momenta Mori there or whatever it's called over there at the Haunted Mansion. And the great thing about
yeah.
that is, you know, they're starting to get away from just the generic Disney Parks merchandise. And, you know, we're getting some more attractions.
Authentic.
Yeah.
You know, it's authentic to that resort.
Exactly. You know.
Or that park or
yeah.
whatever. But, and to add on what I was saying about with the the food and wine at downtown. The only reason I'm saying that, sooner or later, Epcot World Showcase has to go under some kind of refurb. From everything we're hearing, it's going to be sooner than later, in my opinion. And really, I don't think food and wine fits in any other park.
No.
Do you?
Well, certainly not the Magic Kingdom. That's all.
Nope.
You can't have alcohol.
You're not going to have it at the Animal Kingdom.
Nope. Can't stay open too late.
Now with maybe with once Avatar Land comes, maybe you could have the kiosks because there's plenty of room there to do it. And then the studios, I don't know if it fits in there. I mean, with nothing there, it would, but with all the work going on there, and once Star Wars and whatever they're going to do there, I don't see them sticking food and wine. I could see food and wine going to Downtown Disney, because it would also be a win-win because there would be no admission.
Mm. It may bring in more,
day
guests and locals. Not that it doesn't already, but it'll be interesting. I mean, you know, depending on what they do at World Showcase, and I'm assuming you're alluding to the potential change of illuminations or whatever, you know, can they drain that lagoon or whatever they need to do and still function, you know, or the World Showcase still function for food and wine and for,
yeah.
you know, everything else that remains to be seen? I don't know.
Yeah, because we keep getting rumors of new countries, this, that. I'm not saying anything would, but I'm saying when it finally does,
right.
I don't see them being able to do that. I'm not saying it's going to stay away permanently, but I could see it resting it. They're not going to want to let it take a year off, so they would have to put it somewhere else, and I could actually see that going to downtown with the way everything's going, or Disney Springs now.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I think food and wine is a cash cow for Disney, and there's no way they would say, well, we're not going to do it this year. Whether they move it somewhere else, or they stagger it, or, you know, maybe they block off a third of World Showcase at a time, and you can't walk all the way around, but you got to go, you know, only so far, then turn around and go back, and you just miss two or three countries one year, and then the next year it's three more. Who knows? But, I mean, you know, we'll see for sure.
Absolutely, and we can't – you couldn't have it at a – like I couldn't see them. Everybody was shocked when Disney allowed the Tower of Terror – the marathon to go away for 1 year.
Right, right.
With how much that brings in, people were shocked. There's no way they're going to let food and wine go.
Yeah, I mean, I have no idea. I'm just talking out of my I don't know what, but I,
your hat.
Yeah, as much money as that marathon brings in, I'd bet good money on it that food and wine brings in 50 times more than.
Oh, absolutely.
Right.
Food and wine, I think, is the biggest time of the year down there.
I gotta agree with you. I mean, you know, sure, the hard ticket events and, you know, Mickey's Not So Scary and all that, but, you know, for that 5-6 weeks or whatever it is, on top of the all the park admissions and, you know, everybody's annual pass,
I would say it equals. I say that food and wine became a cash cow. It saved the fall and all. It made attendance what attendance is in the summertime during that 5 weeks. It's not more than what summer is because people go because they're off school, and that's when they got to go.
Right,
July,
right.
June and July are the busiest 2 months down there, period, in August. You know, those 3 months, the beginning of August.
Right.
But now Food and Wine, basically, with that going on, made it almost, you know, the attendance close to what summer is. But as an event, it's the biggest event they have of any time of the year.
No, I agree with you, and I remember back in the day, and you're absolutely right, Doug. You'll remember this. It used to be, man, the best time to go to Disney World, at least for us up here in the Northeast, was after Labor Day. Get the kids back in school, and you can go to Disney World and pretty much jump on everything you want, and there's no lines, no wait. So the Disney executives or whoever, or, you know, the group of people that came up with this, not that Food and Wine is a novel idea or Disney invented it. I mean, there's been Food and Wine, you know, celebrations all over the country for years now, but they wanted to fill that gap to boost attendance. You're absolutely right. And they hit a home run when they come up with the Food and Wine.
Well, they hit a home run because they made it the perfect storm. They do Food and Wine, plus they give you free dining or 30% off some hotel rooms. So they added all that together
right.
in those months
right.
to make attendance go through the roof.
Right. I mean, it's brilliant. And, you know, I've been going to Food and Wine for years now, and it, you know, it didn't happen overnight. I'm not saying was it the 15th? I don't remember how many years it's been going. It might even be close to 20. But it started out as a very modest thing that was kind of just a throw-in, and if you happen to stumble upon it, hey, look, you can get some food from this different country. I mean, it wasn't a big deal when it started, but they've built upon it year after year after year, so that it's, you know, it's an event. I mean, people literally book a trip to Disney just to go to Food and Wine now. And that wasn't the case 15 years ago.
No, absolutely not. Because we ran it, the first time we went, we just happened upon it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It was just like, oh, isn't this nice? Or this is different. Or, hey, we can try this. And, you know, I would say it's so popular. I mean, I think it was last weekend, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, even the Swan Dolphin jumped in the fray, and they have their own Food and Wine weekend as well. So they must see how lucrative it is and how well attended Disney's is. And they said, hey, we can do this too. And I hear good things about that as well.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one of these years. That's on my bucket list to do.
me too. I'd love to do that one.
So, what's your next piece of news,
yeah.
my friend?
Speaking of news, for those that might be traveling down to Disney World over the Thanksgiving holiday, just a general comment here that most of the resort hotels, you know, the restaurants in the resort hotels, I should say, will be offering Thanksgiving dinner on Thanksgiving Day, obviously. Just to give you an idea, like Artist Point, Whispering Canyon at the Wilderness Lodge, California Grill and the Wave over at the Contemporary, Cape May Cafe at the Beach Club, Captain's Grill and the Yachtsman over at the Yacht Club, even the End Zone Food Court over at the All-Star Sports. So, again, it's just not the deluxe resorts, but even the moderates and the value resorts will be offering Thanksgiving fare. So, if you haven't booked already, you should have, but if you haven't, you better get on the phone right away to see if you could secure one of these reservations so you and your family or your traveling party can partake in a Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah, and if you actually used the travel agent, you could have got him or her to do it for you. But if you don't, it's your loss because we're free.
There you go.
So, but anyway, Den, did you hear about the you haven't still seen the flag guys at Italy yet, have
no,
you?
No, I've seen a still picture. That's all I've seen. So I would, you know, you can speak to it if you'd like, but I'm going to refrain from even talking about it because, in all fairness, I have not seen it on video or in person yet.
No, you can watch it on video. It goes with the whole I believe that it goes with the authenticity of Italy. Like, it fits right in there. It fits in, like, the juggler and all that.
Yeah.
It's a really good show. Like I said, it ain't like I'm going to make plans to go see it, but if I'm happen by it, just like with the mime or the Chinese acrobats,
yeah,
it fits in the World Showcase perfectly. Unlike the Lumberjacks, but, you know.
Yeah.
I don't want to trash them, but I don't like that show. And now they have the new singers at Morocco, too, and I'm looking forward to seeing them. I seen a video on that, and they also don't seem bad. They seem like they're going to fit in perfectly, too.
You did actually watch the video?
Yes, I did. They weren't too bad. Watch it at lunchtime on the iPhone.
Would you say, I'm just interested in your initial reaction, Moroccan or the new group?
They both have their own flair, Dan. I mean, I'm not a fan of, like, either one of them, so they're both okay.
Okay, no, fair enough, fair enough.
You know, I'm not going out and buy the latest hits or the greatest hits. I mean, you know.
You're not downloading their music from iTunes or anything like that?
No.
Okay.
I mean, if I'm sitting in Spice Road tables, knocking a few back, and they're playing, and if I can hear them in the background, I'm okay with it.
There you go.
As I'm sitting outside. But I'm not – they're both okay, but – It fits in just like, you know, the British Invasion and all that. It fits in Morocco, but I just don't think the Lumberjacks fit, and I was hoping they would just to prove you wrong.
Yeah, I know.
I couldn't be.
Well, I'm glad at least you were honest.
No, if I'm not anything, I am honest.
Well, you didn't start off by saying, let me be honest, so I know you're honest.
No, I hate when people say that. I've told you that before.
I know.
Like, you know, what, are you lying to me all the time then?
Right, right. So pretty much, that's pretty much it for news. A lot going on, and we'll have more on next week's show, I'm sure, about more happenings around Disney World and specifically Disney Springs, because the hammers are flying down there. They're going crazy trying to get that done.
Oh, yeah, the parking garages are open. They have more concept art. The waterside parking section of the landing opened at Disney Springs, and that's the little park. I think that's where the choirs and all used to sing directly across from Legoland.
Yeah, I know.
They redid all that. So that's open now. That's really beautiful.
Yeah.
And, you know, Blizzard Beach has been open and closed. It's because of cold weather. So that's another thing. If, you know, use an agent, because this is the stuff that a lot of times people think agents charge, but this is the stuff that if you book on your own, Disney's not going to tell you.
Right.
Like I was telling you the other day with my buddy John with the pool closed at the Wilderness Lodge.
Oh, yeah, right, right.
The sister's telling John that she's going to swim at the pool a couple of days. And John's telling me they're staying at the Wilderness Lodge. I'm like, well, you know the main pool's closed. He's like, no, I didn't. Disney never sent me an email. I said, that ain't their job to tell you all that. You got to get on Disney's site and look it up, and that's why, like, I send you the closings all the time to post on our site.
Yeah, I mean, I understand what you're saying, and Disney, you know, obviously Disney's a huge company, and I get it, but that kind of rubs me the wrong way. If they can take your, you know, $2,500 to stay at one of their premium or deluxe hotels for the week or whatever it is, I think they can send you an email and let you know what amenities may not be available while you stay. I don't necessarily agree. Like you said, it's not their job, but I think the right thing to do would be to communicate with their guests. I don't really agree with that.
Well, my problem is a lot of times I'll even call there, and this is what I try to tell all of our clients. And the only reason I'm bringing it up is to help everybody.
Right, right.
Use an agent. I'm not even saying if you don't use me, which I wish you would,
yeah,
or any of us at American Tourist Travel, because that's who our sponsor is and that's who I work for. But if any agent, like Pam or any of them, mm-hmm, that's how we help you guys, because it's the same as if you book yourself. But when I call Disney and I book a room at, say, the Polynesian, that cast member ain't saying, well, you know, we're under major construction.
Right, right.
And the same thing when you book. They're not going to think that if you're booking at the Wilderness Lodge, they're not going to say, well, the main pool's down.
Right.
I mean, you might catch one that does do that, but it's not, it's rare. And it ain't that they're trying to be mean. They're trying to book as many trips as they can in a day. They're trying to get that call to the next call. So like I did with him, I said, John, why don't you send them over to the Animal Kingdom Lodge? They can have the same room and a beautiful pool instead of, if they're going to stay at the pool 2 days, the main pool should be open.
Right, right. I agree.
So long story short, if you are going to book yourself, ask the agent when you call, is anything closed? Because they're not going to just hand out that information.
No, I mean, their main job, as you know, is to put heads in beds, as they say. They want to fill every bed and every room that they can. And, you know, you're right. I don't expect for them to each and every guest that might call, well, this is closed, and no, our snack bar is closed. And, you know, I get that. I mean.
Yeah, like when the food courts are down at the All-Stars
Right.
and at Pop Century and the refurbs are going on. They're not, a lot of these cast members are just booking trips. They're not looking to see what's closed.
Right. And I've.
You're just calling in, I want to stay at Riverside, and they'll look, okay, 10 rooms are available. Do you
Right.
want a Savannah? I mean, do you want a Savannah view? Hello, McFly. Do you want a river view? Do you want a garden view? Or do you
Right.
want a standard view? That's all they're asking you.
Right. And the bottom line is, and I got over this years ago, and I probably told this story on a previous podcast, but, you know, everybody thinks that, well, first of all, maintenance and construction goes on at Disney 24/7, 365 because it's such a huge facility. It just has to happen. I mean, you know, a couple of times, again, I get irritated. Early in the morning, we were,
You get irritated
yeah,
early
well,
in the
it
morning?
all
Oh,
does not.
geez. You get irritated
No,
early in the
no.
afternoon, and you get irritated early in the evening.
No, but just you know, just something stupid like this. And again, when I think back, I chuckle because you know you're a knucklehead, Dennis. But we always say how beautiful and how the grounds are manicured at you know either at Riverside,
Right.
any of the resorts. But man, one morning I swear it was 6:45, and this guy's got a weed whacker and he's right outside the door. Now again, the poor guy's just doing his job and or whatever. But you know, I wanted to say, yeah, that's kind of rude of them to do that. But again, in order to keep those resorts looking as beautifully manicured as they are, they got to do it. You know, it's just one of those things. It's business. It's got to happen. But you know, everybody thinks, well, it shouldn't happen on my vacation. Do it next week or something when I'm not here.
Yeah, well, the problem with that is, too, you don't know that they're reading that weather's coming in and they won't be able to cut the grass for 3 days. So they either have to, you know how it is at your own house.
Right.
How many times have you said, man, it's going to rain the next 3 days. I got to go out today and cut that lawn.
Right.
Well, imagine having 47 square miles or whatever.
Right. No, I
Yeah.
yeah, I just use that as an example, but
Yeah.
you know, people get, you know, even I got irritated one year just real quick. We, you know, we stayed at Riverside and we had we were over in the mansions and we were hoping to get near one of the quiet pools, which we did get. However, the pool was drained and they were retiling and regrouting it or whatever they do. They didn't disclose that to us, and at first we were like, "Oh, that, you know, we were kind of upset," but you know, reflecting on it and looking back, hey, look, they got to maintain the pools. I mean, you know, they'll start leaking, they'll start falling apart. It's just unfortunate that it happened, you know, one of the weeks that we were there. But, you know, inevitably, all those pools get taken out of service for, you know, routine maintenance. Maybe not every year, but there's a maintenance schedule that
Every
they.
year they're closed down for a couple of weeks
Yeah,
or something.
right.
So,
If.
I mean, you've got to pay attention, and that's what an agent does. It's the same thing like coming up. The Yacht Beach Club are going under a major refurbishment.
Right.
Now, if you call the book and you've seen the sand bottom pool and you didn't go for 2 or 3 years, or you're not a Disney nut,
Right.
you might get a cast member that tells you, but you might get one that just it slips their mind. Okay, I'm going to give you room 777 over by the pool, and they don't pay attention.
Right.
That's what an agent does. I send you that stuff all the time, or that's what we do. At least go to our site and look at the updates
Yeah, no.
before you book.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I hear you. So for my trip in March, make sure all the pools are open for me, please.
No, I won't tell you.
I'm just teasing.
I'm going to tell them to drain the darn pool.
Okay.
And make sure that shower head that I hate stays there
Oh,
for you.
okay. Yeah, tell me which room that is. I'll get that room so I can check on it and see if they listen to you.
It's probably every room, to
Yeah,
be honest with you.
could be.
So let's talk a little Animal Kingdom, Dan. Have you talked about the Animal Kingdom lately?
Yeah, I haven't talked about the Animal Kingdom in months, actually. But actually, no, let's talk about the Animal Kingdom. That's a great park, and let's hear how your day went or days went when you were down there recently.
So what we did is we actually headed over there early, like we normally do. We got there around, I guess it was right around opening, maybe a couple minutes after. The park was pretty empty. And first thing we did is we went and hung out at the Oasis, which I always do, which I think everybody goes through the front gate and just runs through. Don't you agree?
Yep, not me anymore, though. I meander through and go over the bridge and look at all the exhibits. That's I take at least 15, 20 minutes, and I do. I'm not just saying it. I do enjoy that now.
I got in your head with that, didn't I?
I just hear you saying, Dennis, don't run, don't go, yep, go through this place. So I feel that I owe it to you to go through and look at every exhibit and make sure I'm seeing all I can see.
Yeah, well, that's my motto for the entire, all of Disney World. Slow down, look around, and enjoy the view, because you don't know what you're missing when you're running.
Exactly.
You know. But anyway, we stopped at the Oasis. There was a wonderful cast member there, and we were sitting there, and then the Indonesian barbooses came up to us, which is the pig deers. Did you ever see them?
Yeah, I think I did on my last trip. I wasn't sure. I'm pretty sure. I took pictures of everything, so I'll have to go through and look, but I think I did.
Yeah, they're the ones that have the tusk growing through their mouth. It's like they're through their snout.
In fact, I'll tweet out from our Twitter account later the picture. I know I took one of them.
Yeah, because they're the actual distant cousin of the Pumbaa from The Lion King, of the warthog.
There you go.
So, but she was going on and on, and that's the Disney difference. Like, you get the whole experience. Like, she was talking to us for like 10 or 15 minutes about them. You know, about how what their life expectancy is 24 years. You know, telling us how they're shy, they're, you know, this and that, what they eat. You know, and it was really a good time listening to her. And the thing that I loved about it is which most of the cast members that work at the Animal Kingdom, they actually truly love talking about these animals.
Yeah, I mean, and you're absolutely right, Doug. I mean, when I was on my trip, same thing. There was a woman cast member that was either feeding the ducks, and I'm just calling them ducks and I'm not doing it justice, whatever type of duck, it was a special duck or whatever that was in the particular enclosure that I walked up, and you know, I just asked her a question like, oh, you know, how come they have a red feather in the back or whatever, and she opened up and she couldn't tell me enough about exactly what you just said, you know, what their habits are, where they came from, what environment, and not in a, you know, in a friendly, nice conversational way. And again, I really
very engaging,
right.
Like they want to talk to you. It's like you're talking to like sitting at the bar, somebody pulled up a stool next to you, and you're just talking about whatever,
right.
And they love talking to you,
right.
About that.
They're doing their job there, but the guest interaction, I think, just makes the day better for them, and they truly are excited to share with the guests what they know about these animals or birds or whatever it happens to be, because, you know, they just enjoy, you know, sharing that knowledge.
Yeah, well, what the deal is, I think a lot of them, it's their passion is – like the curators there to take care of all the different animals. I mean, that's what they went to school for. So I really believe that. I mean, they're doing what they love to do.
Right, right. It's just not a 9-to-5, you know, they're just going to work just to work and making widgets and then going home. I mean, you're right. It's a life's passion for them, or most of them anyways.
Absolutely. I'm not all the cast members there, but the ones that actually curate for the animals.
Yep.
They have the macaws there. Did you see the macaws inside the Oasis, which are cool? Then you have the black-necked swans. I love the anteater.
Right.
I get to see him every trip.
Right.
He's my boy.
Did you see the otters? You remember, was it who was it? Was it Bob, I think, mentioned it, the otters? Or was he talking about some other animal? Well, anyways, did you see the otters?
Yeah, we've seen everything, Dan. We roamed around there. We were probably there 20 minutes, a half hour to start the morning off.
Oh.
And, you know, I'm sitting there dreaming that I was a duck swimming around there. That's how good they have it there.
You're right. They're living the life there, that's for sure.
I hope they let some of their friends and family come over from over the Magic Kingdom with the moat being closed and enjoy the hospitality until the Magic Kingdom's back up and running again.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah, those ducks have been displaced, I guess.
Imagine that. All of a sudden, they probably lived there the last 30 years, and all of a sudden, what's going on here?
Right.
The pool's being drained. What's up with that?
Generation upon generation of ducks have probably lived in the moat around the Magic Kingdom, and all of a sudden, it's all gone, or at least being changed. They'll fill it back up with water in some capacity, and they'll come back.
Yeah, I hear you. I just hope they went to over Epcot and a couple of down over Port Orleans Riverside. I hope they just went and visit for a while and they get to go back home.
There you go.
But anyway, we left there and we meandered over to dinosaurs, which you know I love.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was on my way over. I did stop to some of the posts that you were telling me about.
Oh, yeah.
With my sister-in-law there, I didn't get to do it because she was not about to spend 6 hours doing different tasks around the park.
In other words, you didn't get your Wilderness Explorer's handbook, did you?
No, but I'll have you know, my avatar on my Disney experience is Russell. So
okay.
I am an experienced explorer.
Yeah, in all seriousness, and I know I talked about this in depth when we covered my one of my trips to the Animal Kingdom, I highly recommend this. And Doug, in all seriousness, I know you were traveling with your sister-in-law, and, you know, depending on who you're traveling with, this isn't necessarily the type of thing that may appeal to everybody. You got to really slow down, not really care about attractions, and go off and various different paths and areas that you probably wouldn't go on if you weren't doing this, but highly recommend it, and I know you will do it at, you know, one of your future trips.
Absolutely. That's one of those things I truly believe is actually done for the locals.
Yeah, could be.
Somebody that's going there on a season pass that you could do one exploration each trip, or once a month, or go over there until you get all your badges.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, if you're just going down once a year, maybe do one or two, but you're never going to get them all in.
Yeah.
Unless you're going for a couple weeks.
Right. No, I agree with you for the locals, but I also think it really plays well to the kids because, you know, this is just my opinion. I'm sure any kid, you know, over 3 or 4 years old, when they see the gorilla or a tiger or something like that, I'm sure that fascinates them and holds their interest for a couple of minutes anyways, but unfortunately in this society, in this day and age, everything's computers and fast and loud and noisy and bright lights. I think that this Wilderness Explorer program, if you will, just gives them activities to do that relate to the animals and, you know, makes them learn and be more inquisitive, I guess, about the different animals, what they eat and stuff. So, I agree with you about the locals, but I also think it's to engage the kids so that they, you know, like the animal kingdom and obviously learn more about the animals that live there.
Yeah, well, one of my things is what I was saying with the locals, but even, you know, if you're there with your kids, do a couple of them because it enthralls them into the park. It makes them it gives you an experience you normally wouldn't get.
No, I agree.
And the thing is, with locals, wouldn't it be nice, Dan, when your son was young, to been able to go over there and do that, a couple of them every month?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that's a good point. You know, once you get your book, you can do as few or as many as you want, and, you know, you can go back multiple times. And I was just going to say, it must be a fairly successful program because I think it's been over a year now that they've been doing this. And as far as I know, they're still offering it, which is good news. So hopefully it's here to stay or, you know, at least for a while longer, if not forever.
Oh, yeah. I think it's around to stay for a while because it's been very, very popular from everything I read about or seen. Because even when we were there, most of the stations did have a bunch of kids or at least an adult and a child with them. None of them were empty.
Right. But the other thing is, which I found interesting before I even did any of this, if you didn't know about the program, you could almost not even realize what it is or that it's even going on. Does that make any sense?
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, because you get your handbook right when you go over the main bridge when you first catch a glimpse of the Tree of Life there, and, you know, that's where you get your book and they explain everything. But, you know, like I said, if you're doing what 80-90% of the guests do, which is run for the safari or for Everest, you'd blow right by that little kiosk, and like I said, you'd probably never even know what the program is even about.
Absolutely. So, again, that's, you know, slow down, look around, and
yep.
See what's going on. Enjoy the view. Don't run by stuff. So after that, we headed over. I looked at one of the kiosks because there actually is another one in the back towards on the way the dinosaurs. That's where I seen another one. There was one in the Oasis at the end there,
mm-hmm.
right before you got to the souvenir shop. You know what I'm talking about? Before the Tree of Life?
Yep, I know exactly.
We popped in that one, and then there was another one over by dinosaurs that we were talking. I was looking at the girls because the girls went to the bathrooms before we got on dinosaurs, so I was talking to one of the girls there.
Right.
And that's with artifacts and stuff. But then we got on dinosaurs, and the cool part was is we went to go on dinosaurs, and it was so empty that we didn't have to use our fast pass. We went on regular and enjoyed reading about all the dinosaurs. And I think you should really do that, because when you're on the ride, you understand which dinosaur is which. When they're saying, no, it's not the right one, it's not the right one.
Right.
You understand. Do a little research and enjoy all the work that they put into making that queue.
Right, because everybody, and I even thought this, everybody assumes you're looking for the T-Rex, and you're actually not. I don't remember the name, Cantankerous or something like that, but I don't think it's the T-Rex that you're actually looking for.
No, you're not looking for the T-Rex. You're looking for the Iguanodon.
There you go. Right. Right, but again, but that's a great point. If you go through the queue and pay attention to the different dinosaurs and what they're called, the spiel that you hear when you're on your ride vehicle, it all connects together.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, like, isn't it there some point where they say, no, that's not our dino, or something like that, and then you go off in another direction?
Oh, absolutely. I love everything about it. So what we did is we hopped on did it regular way.
Yeah.
And then after we were done that, we ran right back on and did it through FastPass.
Huh.
So we were all shaken and stirred at the same time after that.
Did you consider changing your FastPass to something else, or you didn't even attempt to do that?
No, because we already had a Kilimanjaro Safari. We don't do Expedition Everest.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
I hear you.
So we just hopped on, did it again, and my sister-in-law and us got bounced all over the place twice.
No, and I was just thinking, Bug's Life was closed, correct?
Absolutely. That broke my heart, because I love that attraction.
Right.
I miss my stink pop. Well, my brother.
Right. So, really, you were limited in the attractions you could actually do unless you were going to do one of the shows, Lion King or Finding Nemo.
Yeah, well, it reminded me of – well, we did Lion King. We had Fast Pass for that, and we had Kilimanjaro Safari and Dinosaur.
Nice.
There were our three, which worked out good. And the only reason I mean, you don't even really need it for Lion King. It was part of the package, as I call it.
Right. You got to pick something, right?
Yeah, so it was part of the package. And so we left there. We did that twice, and then we roamed back over, and we went to Tumu for lunch, because by this time, it was already lunchtime.
Oh, so that sounds like you tried something different this trip.
Absolutely. Have you ever eaten there?
Nope. I've heard a lot of good things about it, but I've never stepped foot in the place.
We were going to eat in the Yak and Yeti, but my sister-in-law, she didn't want to eat there. She wanted to just do a counter service, so we decided to try something different, so we did Tumu. And I'll tell you what, it was really good, because I've done Tusker, we've done almost every other place there.
You've done Flame Tree, obviously.
Yes.
Yep.
So we've done everything else, and I actually got the slow-cooked pulled beef sandwich, which was it was awesome.
Mm.
It's spicy beef with mint yogurt cucumber sauce on a pita, served with house-made chips, which was really good. It was like $9.49, $9.50.
Yeah.
And then my wife, she actually got the quinoa salad. It's romaine, olives, feta, tomatoes, chickpeas, fried tofu, hand tossed, and light lemon vinaigrette, served with a pita bread.
So that's vegetarian for sure.
Yes, and she actually really, really liked it.
Right.
And we got the diced chicken and split it. The roasted chicken salad.
Okay.
We split that. So we hit everything up just to try it. And I'll tell you what, it was really, really good. The only thing cracked me up was the people on the dining plan.
Right.
They were getting – it was hot that day.
Mm-hmm.
And they were getting the pineapple Dole Whip served with the dark coconut rum.
Yep.
And they were all melting.
I thought you were going to say it was all melting down their wrists and down their elbows as they were
carrying
them.
Oh, yeah. It was like everybody.
Seat. Yeah.
And I was like – I'm like, Bren, why wouldn't these people ask if they could, like, after they're done eating, come back up and get it?
Right.
Because I would say, I don't want this. I mean, they should do something about it. I mean, I don't think it's right that they're completely melted by the time you eat.
Right.
And it ain't fair to have a kid. I mean, the kids were upset because they were ruined.
Right. It was just a puddle by the time they got done eating their lunch or dinner.
Yeah, it was like chocolate milk, not a Dole Whip.
Now, do they have indoor seating there? Is it outdoor seating?
It's outdoor seating. It's like a little courtyard. It's right there on the way. It's right before you get to, know where the outside singers all these are over in Africa?
Yep, yep.
Right before you get to Kilimanjaro Safari?
Yep.
The restaurant's right there. It's right before the bathrooms on that corner there.
Okay. Now I know exactly what you mean now. Okay. All right. I got
and
you.
And there's a little courtyard behind it, which is very nice. It wasn't like smoldering hot, but it was just hot enough to melt the ice cream.
Right. Right. Well, we all know it's always 20 degrees warmer at the Animal Kingdom, regardless of what the temperature in Central Florida is, right?
Absolutely. It's just humid.
Right.
It's because of the rainforest aspect of it. It's the foliage. It's all the plants.
The vegetation helps that
out. Yeah. But everything was really good there. I'd highly recommend the pulled pork sandwich was really good.
Right.
Or the pulled beef sandwich, slow-cooked pulled beef sandwich.
Yeah, like when we were talking about Epcot last week on the show, I mean, it's hard to get away from your favorites and try something different. And I'm glad you did that, and you can tell us about it, because now I'll probably try that next time. But I'm always drawn to the Flame Tree Barbecue just because it's consistent. I enjoy it. It's good, but I got to change it up and give Temu a try.
Yeah, it was very good. I miss the Yak and Yeti. I mean, I love my fried wontons and all.
Right.
And I love the mahi-mahi there.
Yeah.
Have you eaten at the Yak and Yeti yet?
Once we did. They have a second floor that you can dine in?
Absolutely.
Yeah, we saw the parade one year. This was years ago. We ate up on the second floor there. So I've eaten there once, but it's been years since I've been back.
I think us is probably 8 or 9 times.
Really?
Yeah, I love that place.
Yeah.
It's my go-to ever since. It always used to be the Rainforest, because we've never eaten at the Rainforest at Downtown Disney, but we've eaten at the Rainforest at the Animal Kingdom. I can't even count on anything. Before the Yak and Yeti opened, that's where we would eat every time.
See, and we're the exact opposite. We've never eaten at the one at Animal Kingdom, but we've eaten at the one downtown, I don't know, probably 4 or 5 times over the years. So it's just funny how we're exact opposite as far as that goes.
Well, the thing was, before Yak and Yeti opened, there really wasn't a sit-down air-conditioned option in the Animal Kingdom.
Right, right.
Because Flame Tree and Tusker House are both outside, basically.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? It's not like a cool area like you go in the rainforest, you're getting air conditioned, man.
Right. Yeah, you get blasted. Again, I have nothing against rainforest. I mean, I've eaten there both down in Florida and back home, but the fact I can eat at one back home.
At home, it don't seem special.
Right, that's the reason I don't. We tend not to eat there. But, I mean, I've never had a bad meal at a Rainforest Cafe. Is it, gourmet food? No, but it's decent food. And I I've never had a bad meal there.
Me and Brenda go to the one we've gone a few times to just remember here. The one in Trump Plaza has one in Atlantic City.
Right, right.
Well, used to. That's out of business now, but the Trump Plaza used to have one down in AC that we used to go to all the time.
Right.
We go once a year and the only reason we went is because it reminds us of Disney.
Right, get a little Disney while you're up here. Yeah, I mean, we actually have one at our local mall, so, I mean, in 20 minutes I could be sitting in the Rainforest Cafe, which, again, is why we tend not to go when we're down there.
Yeah, but it just gives you that vibe that you're at Disney and it's all good. And I've never left the Rainforest feeling like it owed me money.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, the atmosphere is great, and like I said, the food is, more than edible. It's good food.
So, to continue on, though, after that, we opted on Kilimanjaro Safari.
See anything different, or?
No, but all the animals, I mean, that ride's always a home run to me. It's like the first time every time I go on it. The cast member, our tour guide, he was awesome.
Yeah.
Really entertained us, was very, chatty.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he told us a lot about animals, because, some are better than others, like Jungle Cruise and Great Movie Ride. The cast member can make the ride on Kilimanjaro Safari, too. He talked just the right amount.
Right. They have their base script, but a lot of them, or some of them, will go off course a little bit, and that's a good thing, because they'll add in some extra insight or stories or something that you hadn't heard before. So I enjoy when I have cast members that are like that.
Yeah, and then all the rhinos were out. Everything was moving. It was weird. Like, all the lions were up on the mountain. They weren't, like, standing, but they were laying, but they were awake, not like...
Right, right.
Like they normally are.
I always joked. I mean, I don't even think there's lions. I think they just throw a brown, hairy rug up there, and it's just, I'm only kidding. I'm only kidding.
Yeah.
But they
I had to zoom on the video camera so I could see them.
Right, right.
They were out. The zebras, the giraffe. And I love that ride every time I go on. Like I said, it's like brand new all the time. It's a must-do. It's, you know, it's one of my favorites in all the Disney World.
Well, unless you're going to go to Africa anytime soon, that's about as close as you're going to get to being in the on the Serengeti.
No, absolutely. The one thing I did forget, I mean, we went through everything. All the animals were out. It was a great ride. I mean, I highly recommend Kilimanjaro Safari. But one thing I did miss, before we headed over to eat, we actually did do Flights of Wonder. And this is an attraction or a show that I don't think anybody should miss. I mean, and for people to say it's a half-day park and stuff like that, the reason they're saying it's a half-day park is they're not doing shows like this, in my opinion.
Right. Just before you tell us about the show, how long would you say it was from the time you walked through the curtain there at the end? They have kind of like a canvas curtain, as I recall. Is it a 45-minute deal, would you say?
What, for Flights of Wonder?
Yeah.
No, I don't know, about a half hour, 40 minutes, yeah, but I don't remember walking through the curtain this time, but I probably did.
No, I think what I'm getting at, Doug, is when the show's in progress, they have the canvas curtain that goes down so you can't see in when you're walking by, but
probably
before the show starts, the curtain is to the side.
It's open.
They
I didn't even notice it going in, but
right.
And I've done it so many times, but we've always gone in. We never go in during the show, and I've never paid it. Attention, I've gotten lucky. I've seen the show quite a few times.
Right.
And everybody should see it. And the main thing is you get to see an American bald eagle. And if you sit up front, he's like 10 feet from you. And where else in the world do you get to see an uncaged American bald eagle sitting on a handler's arm right in front of you?
Right, right. It must be a very majestic bird, you know, looking at it that close, I'm sure.
I mean, it's like regal. It's like when you see that bird, you understand why we chose it to represent the United States. I mean, I hate to say it, but he's bad. You know what?
Right,
It's just cool to see him there.
Right.
I mean, he's sitting there with his chest out, all proud, saying, "I'm it." And that's cool to see. And I'm so glad that they're saved and they're back on the mend and they're no longer an endangered species. It's a wonderful thing, but then to see the macaws, what they do, the talking, and the way the curator trains and the whole show with the tour guide that's on vacation with his troop, and she goes up or he goes up because there's two of them, and the curator makes fun of her because she acts like she's a bushman and she's really not, because we had the female this time.
Okay.
And the way they fly in and out all the windows and the crane walks around. I mean, it's just an amazing show, if you ask me.
Right, right. Like I said, we've done it once, and we did it years ago, and I guess I'm guilty of what you're saying. I mean, you know, we should double back and see it again. I'm sure I've forgotten most of it, and I'm sure they've changed it up a bit, too. So next trip to Animal Kingdom, that's on my list.
Absolutely, it should be. I'll tell you what, I enjoyed that more than Lion King this trip. And the Lion King and the new theater and all was awesome. It's beautiful. But it just – what I appreciate out of this is these are animals.
Right.
And for them to be on cue that much, it's so impressive how smart and how they respond to all these trainers. It's amazing. Like, you know, the Lion King, it's adults playing animals.
Right.
So you know what
right.
you're going to get every show. Mm-hmm. But this is live entertainment, and you don't know what you're going to get.
Right.
And it's amazing the way they're walking by you, and then and to see the owl is absolutely gorgeous. And again, at the end of the show, you can go up front and talk to the trainers, and they'll tell you about the animals and tell you how old they are and how long they live. And like the owls, they'll live 30, 40 years old or more.
Wow.
It's amazing to hear all that. You learn so much. Take the kids. They'll love it. It's like, and that's what aggravates me. There are things you don't see at the local zoo.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, we've had this discussion and I've heard it a million times on a million different podcasts. I mean, unfortunately, you have your theme park junkies that all they want to do is go on the biggest roller coaster or the fastest ride or the greatest drop. And they really don't care about all the other things, which, again, at least for me, I won't speak for you, but I think you'll agree with me. All that stuff window dressing to me. The thing that makes the Disney difference is the queue lines and the artifacts and the story and the backstory and all the stuff that you just said. That's why I go to Disney and that's why I love it, not because they have roller coasters or whatever.
No, I hear you, and I don't get why I don't get how people don't appreciate it as much as they do, because there's so many things around there that if you, like, they're in a hurry to get to Expedition Everest, and I would do this 20 times before I would do Expedition Everest, in my opinion. I enjoy the queue on Expedition Everest more than I enjoy the ride.
I've heard you say that many a time.
Yeah, so and I'll be honest with you, I didn't do Expedition Everest this trip. Yeah, and we were thinking about it, but it was actually shut down, so it kind of made the decision for me.
Right.
It was out, you know, there was a problem with it. They were having technical difficulties.
I mean, I agree with you. I've been on Expedition Everest, you know, dozens of times, I'm going to say, and now I don't care to do it. You know, I'm getting a little older. It, you know, puts a strain on my neck and stuff, but my wife definitely can't ride it because that backwards part literally makes her dizzy for the rest of the day. Mm-hmm. So she don't go on it, so I don't go on it. But, you know, I've done it enough where I don't feel the need to have to do it. I'd do it, like you said. If I went with somebody else and I had to be macho and go on it, I'd go on it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And then we roamed a little bit around. After we got done that, we roamed the Maharaja Jungle Track, checked that out, seen the big bats, the tigers, and the whole nine yards.
Were the tigers moving at all, or were they just chilling?
Yeah, they were actually playing. They were actually beating a ball around.
Oh, I'd love to see that. I've seen videos of that, but I've never seen them do it live while I was there.
Yeah, they were actually beating the ball around, and they were having a good time with that. They knew, like, the one was chasing the other one along the fence. Like, no, not the fence, along the rocks.
Right, right. No, that's awesome.
You know, and they were moving around a little bit. There was two of them that were playing the most, and then there was one that was laying down that he was like, don't come near me or I'm going to kick your butt. He didn't want to be bothered at all, or she, whatever.
He needed his space.
he or she was just chilling. But that whole area there, you can walk around for a long time. I mean, everybody, and we're sitting there noticing people too. It's like they can't wait to get the end of the walkway.
Right, right.
It's like, why are you in such a hurry to get through this? It's not going to go away. Like, where are you going?
It's like there's a pot of gold at the end or something like that.
Yeah, running you over to get, like, check it out, man. When do you get to see these animals again this close to you?
Right, right. Now, did you go on the Pangani Trail in through the outdoor, as they say? Did you have to do that?
Yeah, well, we took that all the way back to Conservation Station, the train and all.
Got you.
And we did that after we did a Kilimanjaro Safari.
Mm-hmm.
And the cool part is I tweeted out the picture. Do you remember the ball that I got that was one of the Tigers' balls?
I don't know if you tweeted it, I saw it, but I don't particularly recall.
It was really cool. It was like this big cork ball that they let the Lions or the Tigers play with. And the girl showed me how they ripped it apart.
Oh, so you actually held it in your hand and everything?
Absolutely, and I have pictures of it. It was really awesome to see. And the other thing was, like, and Scott picked on me the last time, and I – bite me, Scott. But anyway, remember we told you they were working on a female – they were doing the physical on a female lion?
Oh, yeah, I remember that episode vividly.
Okay. Well, this last trip, they were actually removing a part of a tail – at the veterinarian hospital, and they were talking as we were standing there, me, my wife, and my sister-in-law, mm-hmm. on a Komodo dragon. It was infected.
Wow.
So they were – it was a little guy. He wasn't huge. He was, I don't know, maybe a couple foot long, and his tail was maybe like a foot or two long, and there was a problem with it. And they were taking a part of his tail apart to do some kind of test on it.
Wow. You seem to
save him.
You seem to have all the luck. Every time I've been through there, they've been just working on like a bird's feather or a wing, I should say, or something like that. You seem to get the more interesting animals.
It was really cool, and they were talking. What the cool part was is we're all standing there, and as the doctors, there was four of them there and one nurse, like four or five there that were going back and forth, and there were microphones talking to you. They were talking to each other about what they were doing, and it was playing to us.
Oh, nice. So you could actually hear what they were discussing as they were doing this procedure.
Yeah, and they were talking, like, real medically, we're going to remove the one-fifth of the blah, 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 and put it here, like, because they were doing, you could tell the way they were talking, it was for data.
Right, right, right.
Which was really cool, and then that's when, after that, we went over, and that's when the girl said, do you want to hold this ball, because she was telling us about it, so she handed it to me, and it was really amazing to feel the thickness of this.
Right.
And the lions, I mean, the tigers actually tore through it.
Right. So it just tells you how powerful their jaws are, right?
Absolutely, and even in that area, it's pretty cool. Even though all those animals, you know how you're inside there, they have all the animals, like the, how can I put it? They're like the pretend animals. They have, they're like the paintings, but
oh,
it's the actual size of what the animal is.
Like a mural or something like that.
Yeah, the murals, but they're actually to scale of what that animal would be if you came up to it.
Right, right.
And I don't even think most people realize that either. They go walking in, go by all this, and I think it's pretty cool to walk up next to the tigers and the lions and all the different species that are in there. They actually, I mean, the size of the rhino is amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, because you they're always bigger than you imagine they would be, I guess is the best way to put it.
Absolutely, and that's all the stuff that go back there, and the train ride is just awesome to me.
Right, right. I do enjoy that. I mean, even if you didn't get off the train and just rode it back and forth a couple times, that would be fun to do.
Yeah, I would be, and I would do that. I've done it before. Like, we've done the trip. We've drove back and then rode back. We've done the trip back. We've got off, checked around, and then we rode back and then came back and went back again, but didn't get off.
Right, right, right.
Ah. Just because it's relaxing. We've actually... a couple times we've like packed a couple things,
yep.
Like, and then just hung out on there while we were going back and forth, just chilling for like a half hour, because that's all it takes.
Yeah, and
it don't take long to go back and forth once.
Right, and even when it's hot, even in the middle of the day, you're undercover on the train, and you get a little bit of a breeze from the train moving, so it's a comfortable ride, even though you're outdoors.
It's just something very, very relaxing about the noise of that train.
Right. I agree.
You know, it isn't as noisy, because I love the Magic Kingdom trains, because our buddy Bob from All in WDW, did you see him tweet that it was closed?
Yeah,
tonight?
Yeah, he tweeted you the sign there. I did see that.
Thank God it was open when I was there. I would have cried. But the Magic Kingdom trains are a lot louder than what that train is. If you sit all the way at the back of the train that goes out to... Conservation Station. Mm-hmm. It's very relaxing. I mean, you just hear the wheels going on the track.
Yep.
And then every once in a while, you'll get the tug sound between the two cars.
Yep. No, absolutely. And the unique thing, if you will, about that train, I know you haven't been out to Disneyland, but their train that goes around the park, not the Magic Kingdom, one of the Disney.
Is like that,
right.
So you can see the park.
The seats face sideways like that, not front to back like our train does in Florida. So it does, if you've been to Disneyland, it's reminiscent of, you know, that train at Animal Kingdom and the one out in Disneyland because of the way the seats face.
Now, do you know why the ones face that way at Disneyland and not at Disney World?
I don't. Do you?
I don't know this for 100% fact, but I think this is the reason why. Because I think the view at Disneyland, they only want you seeing the park because they don't own everything outside that park.
You're probably looking at Route 5 if you were facing frontwards and you were allowed to look to the left.
Exactly.
Now that you say that, I guarantee you that's exactly what it is.
And now at Disney World, you get to see the beauty of what's owned on both sides. There's not a bad view.
Right, and, you know, you never know. You might see Indians, you might see guys fishing. Who knows what you'll see on that train, right?
It's awesome. But, you know, it's just beautiful. It's a must-do every trip for me, and I think you're nuts if you walk underneath that station and don't go on the train.
No, I did it last trip, and we had done it in the past. And, to be honest, it had been many years since I had been out there, and I re-experienced it. Based on your prodding, if you will, and I really enjoyed it. I spent, you know, an hour or so out there and walked around, and I could have spent more time out there if I really wanted to, and in future trips I will do that.
Absolutely, you got to go to a conservation station every trip to Animal Kingdom. Like, you can't do that anywhere else either. And they, if you go out there and hang out long enough, then you got the petting zoo outside, which is really cool. I love the way that they have it where you can clean up. They have the cleanup station,
Yep.
which I know all other zoos don't have that.
Nope.
And just talk to, and I know other zoos have curators, but they're not. The class, when you're at conservation station, these are, you can actually talk to the veterinarians and the people that actually work on animals, and they want to talk to you.
Right. Yeah, no, it's again, you can engage as much as you want out there or as little. I mean, you want to keep to yourself. I mean, I know I mentioned this when we talked about this on my visit. Did they have all of those TV screens there that you can basically pick an animal, giraffe,
Yeah.
you know, and if
Yep.
you want to watch a 10-minute video that
Absolutely.
tells all about the gorillas, I mean, it'll tell you know, everything you want to know. I mean, you can just walk up and basically click on whatever channel you want. I mean, I never knew that was there, and I did click through a few things, and you know, I didn't stay there 15, 20 minutes, but
Yeah.
I did watch a couple of videos that interested me, and you know, that's a cool thing.
And they also have there the live feeds where you can go right to the cameras that are live right in their stalls
Right.
and see what they're doing. So there's all kind of things. And then you have the couple dark rooms that have the different shows of animals. So, I mean, go back there and enjoy yourself. I mean, I don't understand. We were there, we got there at 9 and we left at 4 o'clock, 4:30, and we were entertained the entire time, if you follow me. I was doing something the entire time I was there. Now, again, I don't want to pick on studios. Most of the time when I'm at studios, I'm roaming through gift shops
Right.
to kill time.
Yep.
And I'm happy with that, but I'm not learning anything.
Right.
Where I feel educated every time I leave the Animal Kingdom, don't you, Dan?
Yeah, you know, I do, and again, we covered this on my trip. I just, it's amazing, you know, try to take a different path every time you go there, or you know, if you always go to the right, go to the left, or whatever, and you'll be amazed all the nooks and crannies at the Animal Kingdom that you can explore. And they may not go anywhere or may not lead to anything all that exciting, but it might be a nice bench in a shady area where if you grabbed an ice cream or a Mickey bar or something, you could spend 10 or 15 minutes just chilling on a bench in a nice, you know,
Yeah.
shaded area or something like that.
Yeah, and spend 15, 20 minutes or so just looking at the Tree of Life. I mean, that's like one of the most beautiful things ever built in the world.
It is. It's pretty
It's
vivid when you look at it. I mean, it is amazing. We all know it's fake, but I mean, when you're looking at that thing, when you're, you know, at a certain angle and the sun's shining right on it in a certain way, I mean, it's beautiful.
Just to think that's an oil tanker, an oil rig turned upside down.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And the leaves are fake, and but the authenticity, they look so real. But with the arch, I mean, the architecture and the sculptures in that tree, and to see people just run by that, get into Tough to Be a Bug. Like, you know how many people we let go by us as we're walking up there?
Yeah, I can imagine.
I'm never in a hurry. I mean, I see a different animal or two every single time I walk by there. I've probably seen it before, but there's always a new one that intrigues me. I'm seeing it from a different angle, or it's just the beauty of it. And to not look at that is insane to me.
Yeah, no,
You know?
Doug, I totally agree. I mean, again, as I said before, I mean, some people are there just to specifically do rides, and you know, you'll never convince them. Or, you know, maybe as they mature and get a little older, they'll appreciate the park and everything it has to offer. Not that it's just young people. I shouldn't stereotype like that, but it does tend to be the younger crowd that's running to and fro, just doing the you know, the E attractions and couldn't be bothered with the rest of the park.
Yeah, like most people don't even realize there's Discovery Island trails. There's all kind of trails around the Tree of Life to see different animals. I mean, you know, the safari, the Pangani trail. Explore the animals the way they want you to, and stop and talk to the cast members, because there's stuff that you're walking by that you don't even realize you can do to interact. Like when you go around to see the white rhino, I mean, to see the hippopotamuses.
Yep.
You know, where you can see them from underneath and all that stuff. Like, people don't even know that stuff's there. So, slow down, look around, and enjoy the view is what I always say when you go to the Animal Kingdom, because you're going to miss so much if you don't. You'll end up rushing to get it, to not see it, is what ends up happening.
Right. Now that's great advice.
Yeah, we didn't do Nemo this time. Usually we do one or the other. Or, you know, Nemo to me is nice, but I don't need to see it again.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I mean, I again, we talked about this, but I really enjoy the soundtrack. I enjoy the music.
Yeah.
I mean, the show is great, don't get me wrong, but I've always had an issue with the benches, and it's very uncomfortable,
yeah,
at least for me, to sit on for that period of time. But, you know, it's a great show. I mean, if you've, you know.
It's awesome.
Yeah,
go see it. But
yeah.
I'd like, the music from The Lion King pumps me up more than the music from Nemo.
Well, I think you said this before. You said usually you alternate every trip to Disney.
Yeah.
You'll, if you do Nemo one year, the next year
Absolutely.
You'll do The Lion King and vice versa.
Yeah. I mean, they're all nice, but do Flights of Wonder. It's better than both of them.
There you go.
So, you know, but they're the must-dos. Make sure you guys give the park the appreciation it deserves. You know, don't go in there listening to what everybody else tells you. That's the other thing. I think too many people go in with an opinion already made before they enter that park.
Yeah, no, it's unfortunate. And, you know, what's the old saying? If you keep repeating something over and over, it becomes fact, whether it is or isn't. And, you know, there is a segment out there in the Disney community that, you know, goes on trash in the Animal Kingdom, and unfortunately some people form their own opinion based on those folks, and it's unfortunate because it is a beautiful park and there's a lot to see and explore there, and if you take the time you might really enjoy it.
Oh, we had a great time, Dan. I can't wait to go back again. You know, after that we went back to Epcot, and we'll cover you because you went to Food and Wine. We'll cover some more of that on our next podcast. I got some more Epcot stories. We got a review coming up on one of our new favorite restaurants. We're going to do it for ourselves and for Bob at All in WDW at Spice Road Tables. Me and Dennis both fell in love with that restaurant. Do you concur, Dan?
I do, and I agree that we do have some shows coming up. Doug and I had a little pre-show discussion, I guess, planning out a couple of podcasts. And as much as we love Food and Wine, we decided that we needed a break from it, and probably some of you listeners do too. So that's why we chose to go in another direction, at least for this podcast, and do a little Animal Kingdom talk.
So I hope you guys enjoyed it. We are so sorry it was out late. If you had any idea what we went through the last 2 days, I would have had more than 2 shots and 2 beers. I'd have had 8 beers and 7 shots, and Dennis would have had to finish off the rest of the bottle. Because that's how much trouble we've gone through to get this one out. But you know what? That shows you how much we love talking to you guys, and we appreciate you guys, and we hope you enjoy our show. And please contact us on Twitter. Please give us a review over at iTunes, because they do help us, and we really appreciate that at WDW Main Street. And you got anything else, Dan?
No, that's about it. It's great to have this one in the can, hopefully, and enjoy talking some Animal Kingdom with you and the listeners, and we'll have another show for you next week.
Yo, Dan, from your lips to the big guy's ears.
There you go.
Well, this is Bangers and my buddy Mash, and we're out of here.
Later.
You guys have a great week, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye. Well, that's going to be it, guys. Me and Den's going to hop off our stools. It was another fun day of talking Disney with you. And don't forget our sponsors, American Tourist Travel, Scooter Vacations, and David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you need to find any of our fine sponsors, hop on our website at www.mainstreetmemories.com. And again, thanks for joining us, and talk to you real soon.
Yeah.